Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Matt Paddock, and I'm one of the pastors here at Relevant Community Church. And it is my prayer that something in this message inspires and empowers you to take your best next step to follow Jesus. And as you take steps in continually following Jesus, that you are more and more transformed into everything God has created you to be. I hope you enjoy this message.
Still trying to catch my breath. Stupid dancing around. I tell you that, too old for that stuff. Hey, there's a phrase that many of us have heard, many of us have said that's just absolutely ridiculous. And here's the phrase: I'll be with you in spirit. I mean, what does this even mean? I mean, can your spirit be somewhere where you are physically not? The answer is no. And so, hey, next, if you're going to move and you need some help moving, and you ask your friend to help move, and they said, dude, I can't be there, but I'll be with you in spirit. Just look at him and say, dude, your spirit's not going to help my couch move. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, let's be real. This is just a way to say, I'm actually not showing up. It's a polite way of bailing out, being somewhere. They're just empty words. But here's the deal. This is essentially what Jesus said to his disciples and what Jesus said to us. Today, we're in part two of this series we called God With Us, and as we launched this series last week, we discovered that the night Jesus was unjustly arrested by the Jewish religious leaders and then ultimately crucified the next day on a Roman cross, that night he gathered his 12 disciples together for one final Jewish Passover meal. We now call it the Last Supper. And right toward the end of his time together with them that evening, before he was arrested, he looked at them and said, hey guys, I'm going to no longer physically be with you because I'm going to go back to my Heavenly Father in heaven, but it is for your good and he said it's for our good that he was going away, because after he left, he said he would send his spirit, referred to as the Holy Spirit, to be with and to reside within every one of his followers, every single person who's put their faith in Jesus from that point forward. Essentially, Jesus looked at them and says, I'll be with you in spirit, but unlike when we say it, this wasn't an empty promise from Jesus. Now, the question that Jesus' disciples were left asking that night, and the question that you and I are left asking, is how is this for our good? Like, Jesus, why is this better than you physically being with us? And Jesus and the writers of Scripture, listen, they talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. And they identify many things he does in us and for us and through us. However, during the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples that he was sending his Spirit for three specific reasons. And it's because of those three reasons, while at the end of his time with them that evening, he said it was for their good and for our good that he went away. So, for your good and for my good and for our good throughout the series, we're looking at each of those three reasons. Now, those of us who believe that Jesus was the Son of God, believe that God was with us 2,000 years ago when Jesus was physically here, and that God will be with us again when Jesus physically returns someday. But what about in the meantime? I mean, is God with us in the meantime? Is God with you and me today? And according to Jesus, the answer is yes. According to Jesus, God is with us today. God is with us in the meantime through the Holy Spirit residing within us. And you and I can experience the reasons that Jesus said he sent his Spirit to be God with us in a real, tangible, powerful, transformational way today. But we must choose it because, as we discovered last week, experiencing God with us, well, it's a choice. Now, before we look at the first reason that Jesus said he was sending his Spirit to be God with us during the Last Supper, we need to quickly talk about something that many of us assume about faith in Jesus. And many people, and maybe you, assume that after we put our faith in Jesus, life is supposed to be great and easy and quote-unquote blessed. And by blessed, we mean no more pain, no more struggle, no more hardship, no more suffering, no more problems, no more disease, no more despair, no more discomfort. But it never goes that way, does it? What happens when life doesn't go that way? What happens when things fall apart? When the diagnosis comes? When you lose your job? When the relationship crumbles? when they leave you, when there's financial hardship, when you experience injustice, when you're being abused, when someone you love tragically dies. Now, come on, let's be honest. Here's what happens. We end up asking this question. Why God? Why God? If you're real, if you're with me, if you're good, then why is this happening to me? Why aren't you fixing it? Why aren't you blessing me? And we start questioning if God is really with me. Does he really care? If he does, why doesn't he do anything? And those questions have caused many people's faith in God to crumble, and it's caused some, maybe you, to even walk away from faith because it feels like God's distant. He's unavailable. He's uninterested. He's not really with me. So here's my question for you. Why have you concluded that faith in God equates to our comfort? Why have you concluded that? Why have you concluded that faith in Jesus equates to no hardship and no pain and no suffering? Because here's what you need to know. Jesus never promised we wouldn't experience pain, suffering, disease, disappointment, and injustice. As a matter of fact, as we're going to discover today, he promises us we will. And the inevitable trouble and hardship and problems and struggle that we experience is actually one of the reasons that Jesus said he was sending his Spirit to be God with us. Here's what Jesus said in John 14 during the Last Supper, two chapters before he told them that it was for their good and for our good that he was going away, starting in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you, or he will send you another advocate other than me, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, or referred to as the Holy Spirit. And the disciples are going, hey, Jesus, why are we going to need his help? Like, what are we going to need his help with? And Jesus is saying, hey, I'll tell you in just a minute, but first you need to know that the world, referring to people who never choose to put their faith in Jesus, the world cannot accept him. Saying the world cannot and will not receive the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the world can't and won't experience the presence of God with them. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, my followers, know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus is saying, I'm sending my Spirit to be God with you by taking residence within you and every person who chooses to put their faith in me. Now, here's what this means, and here's the implication of this. Experiencing God with us today is only a promise for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins, our Savior, and declaring that we are going to follow him as the leader of our lives, as our Lord. And if you haven't done that, I'm so glad you're here. I'm pumped you're here. There's never any pressure to do that today or any other day here. But today, if you feel a prompting and a stirring and you're like, you think I should do that, and you can't even believe you're thinking about doing that, I believe that's the Holy Spirit inviting you today. So don't resist him. Choose to receive him today by putting your faith in Jesus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that before we close today. Well, after Jesus said this, I imagine the disciples asking, why are you sending the Holy Spirit to take residence within us? Like, Jesus, why is this better than you physically being with us? Does it have something to do with the help you said we're gonna need? And Jesus is going, yeah, sure does. And he made that very clear a few sentences later. But the advocate, and the Greek word, in Greek is the language that the New Testament is originally written in. The Greek word here that's translated into advocate can also be translated as helper. But the advocate, or the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And Jesus is saying, okay, now here's the reason I'm sending my Spirit to be God with you. Are you ready? Here it is. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace, through the Holy Spirit residing within you, I give you. The Holy Spirit will be God with you to fill you with my peace. And you need to know, Jesus said, I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. During the Last Supper, One of the reasons Jesus said he was sending the Spirit to be God with us is to comfort us with a peace that only he can produce within us. Which leads to the question, why would I need comforted with peace? I imagine the disciples looking, hey, Jesus, why do we need comforted with peace? We put our faith in you. Life is supposed to be easier now. After we put our faith in you, we're not supposed to experience any more pain or suffering or hardship or discomfort. Right, Jesus? So what would our hearts possibly be troubled over? Why would we be afraid? Why do we need God with us to comfort us with your peace? And that night, before Jesus wrapped up his time with his disciples, this is what he told them. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And here's what you're going to need. Here's why you're going to need God with you to comfort you with my peace. In this world, you might. Nope. In this world, you will. You will. You will have trouble. Pain, struggle, hardship, suffering, problems, disease, despair, discomfort, trials, injustice, persecution, disappointment. Well, Jesus, I thought once we put our faith in you, we wouldn't experience any more of that. And Jesus looks at them and looks at us and go, where did you get that idea from? Where did you get that idea from? I never promised that. As a matter of fact, I'm promising you will experience trouble. But take heart, Jesus said. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid, because I have overcome the world. And a few days after Jesus said these words, he literally overcame the world when he defeated death by rising from the grave. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He was physically God with us 2,000 years ago, and he will physically be with God with us again when he returns again. And when he returns again, he has promised he will remove all sin, all sickness, all disease, all suffering, all tears, all hardship, all persecution, all trouble. But we live in the meantime. And in the meantime, he promises we will have trouble. So in the meantime, Jesus said, I'm sending the same Spirit that rose me from the grave to reside in you, to be God with you, to comfort you with my peace, because you're gonna need it. And according to Jesus, he does not give peace as the world gives. Meaning, true peace that only he can produce is not found in this world, and nothing in this world can give it. The world can only offer the idea of peace. And how the world offers it is based on when then. When my candidate wins, when there's no more injustice, when this cancer leaves my body, when I'm finally able to have a child, when I end up getting married, when this hardship is over, when this suffering ends, when my marriage is restored, when I make more money, then I'll have peace. And the longer we wait for the when, the bigger the chasm grows between the peace we long for and the peace we're actually experiencing. And come on, let's be honest. When the when finally happens, we don't experience true peace anyway. Just short-lived happiness until the next trial, until the next trouble, until the next diagnosis. The peace of God is so much bigger than that, so much better than that. The Hebrew expression for this is shalom. And shalom is not the absence of conflict, pain, turmoil, hardship, sickness, or death. Shalom is wholeness and harmony within the midst of the brokenness we're living in. Shalom is a true blessing from God that produces a deep sense of it is well within my soul, in the midst of pain and hardship and turmoil and trouble. Shalom is comfort, joy. Rest in my soul, regardless of the situation. Jesus promised us in this world we will have trouble. And one of the reasons he sent the Holy Spirit to reside within us is to be God with us, to comfort us with the peace of God within, with shalom, with it is well within my soul when we experience suffering, hardship, trials, sickness, brokenness, and troubles. Which leaves some of us frustrated, saying, if that's true, then why am I not experiencing it? I mean, I put my faith in Jesus, but I'm not being filled with peace. I'm being filled with anxiety, worry, fear, shame, grief, depression, debilitating stress, heartache, hopelessness. It is not well within my soul. So where's the peace of God? It doesn't seem like God is with me. And listen, here's what you and I just all need to know. The peace of God is available to you today. But once again, experiencing God with us is a choice. God is with us in the hardship, suffering, pain, uncertainty, disappointment. And he can and wants to fill us with true peace, true shalom in the midst of it. It's one of the reasons that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to reside within us. But experiencing God with us, it's a choice. It's a choice to receive instead of resist the Holy Spirit. It's a choice to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the big idea. God is with us to comfort us with peace. With true peace, with the peace of God, with shalom, with a peace that transcends all understanding, but we must choose to be filled with it. We discovered last week that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And when we're choosing to receive instead of resist the Holy Spirit, when we're choosing to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit, peace is what God with us produces within us. And that choice to choose, shouldn't start after the suffering and after the hardship and after the disappointment comes. If we wait until then, it's too late. And that's what so many of us are doing. And why so many of us are not being comforted with the peace of God within us when we face pain and sickness and suffering and trials and hurt and trouble. See that choice? That choice starts now. That choice starts today. The choice to be filled with the Comforter must start today. And that choice requires doing what the writer of Hebrews instructs us to do in Hebrews 12 when he says, let us throw off, which means get rid of, turn our back on, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And throw off? Throw off is an active choice on our part. Writer's saying, Hebrews saying, we must choose to throw off everything that can hinder and entangle us from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And instead, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, which is to follow Jesus one next step at a time, and here's how, by fixing our eyes, which is a choice. By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He's saying, we must choose to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, the pioneer and perfecter of peace. And then check out what he said next. For the joy set before him, and the joy set before Jesus was the salvation that his death and resurrection would provide you and provide me. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured trouble, pain, darkness, hopelessness, hardship, suffering, despair, and death. He endured the cross scorning its shame. And after he rose from the grave and ascended into heaven 40 days later, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus died on that cross and then he rose from the grave 3 days later, he defeated the power of sin, the power of darkness, the power of hopelessness. He defeated the power of Satan. And the writers of Scripture promised the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave now resides in those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives. God is with us to comfort us with peace, but we must choose to be filled with it. And we choose to be filled with it by choosing to throw off everything that can hinder and entangle us from being filled with the peace of God today and choosing to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus today. And there's a multitude of ways that we can do that. But I want to close by quickly giving you one thing we must choose to throw off today and one thing we must choose to do to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus today. And I believe if you choose to do just these two things, you will begin to experience the comfort of the peace of God with you today. And then when you're in the midst of, as Jesus describes, troubles. Here's the first. Choose to throw off substitute comforters. When you feel like you need comforted, where, what, or who do you naturally turn to for comfort? When you need comforted, and we all do, where, what, or who do you naturally turn to for comfort? Alcohol, sex, money, acquiring more stuff, shopping, food, him, her, social media, work, pornography, I mean, the list can go on. These are all substitute comforters. And they may help feel you better, they may help you feel better for a moment, but these will not fill you with the peace of God, especially in the midst of hardship, trials, and pain. And you know this, because no amount of stuff can fill you with peace when you're staring down the barrel of stage four cancer, can it? The reality is these substitute comforters will actually lead to greater emptiness, anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. God is with us to comfort us with peace, but we must choose to be filled with it. And we choose to be filled with it by choosing to throw off substitute comforters that can hinder and entangle us from being filled with our true comforter, with the peace of God today. And here's the second. Second, choose to fix your eyes on Jesus by filling your mind with what produces the peace of God. Here's how the Apostle Paul said it in Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, here's the choice. Put it into practice. And here's the result. The God of peace will fill you. Paul's saying, fix your eyes on Jesus today by choosing to fill your mind with the promises, the principles, and the truths of God, with what's glorifying to God, with what's good to God, with what's praiseworthy to God, with what's true to God, with what's in alignment with the character of God, what's beautiful to God, with what's pure to God. And then the God of peace will fill you. Then you will experience the comfort of God with you today and when you need it most, when you're in the midst of pain, hardship, suffering, loss, trials, and darkness. And we can do this in many, many, many ways. We can do it through worship, through being exposed to practical biblical teaching, through attending on Sunday mornings, through reading scripture, through prayer, through going to encounter that we do 3 times a year, through the people we surround ourselves with, through our Tea Life group, through our Rooted small group, through our Youth United small group, through sitting in quiet stillness. The problem for many of us is that what we're choosing to fill our mind with every day, all day, is everything but with what produces the peace of God within us. Every day, we're choosing to constantly fill our minds with TikTok, with what's on the news, with gossip, with negativity, with reels, with social media posts, with 17 stupid podcasts, with what will make us more money, with what we can buy next, with noise. Hey, let me borrow that real quick. Let me borrow that real fast. Thank you, brother. Good job taking notes. All day long, every day, we fill our minds with this. All day, every day, we fill our minds with this. And we all do it. And yet, we still wonder why our lives are seemingly void of God's presence. And God, why is my life void of your peace? God, why is my life void of God with me? Because we've made our choice of what we fill our minds with all day, and it ain't that. And we chose it. I said last week that you and I have as much God in our lives as we choose. We have as much God in our lives as we want. And this is what we want, evidently. Because this is what we choose all day. Here you go, brother. Thank you. I'm not going to toss it to you. Don't want to break it. God is with us to comfort us with peace. But we must choose to be filled with it. And we choose to be filled with it by choosing to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, by filling our mind today with what produces the peace of God today. Listen, I believe you're here because you want, and some of you need, to experience the peace of God within you today. And that's what God wants for you as well. So let me ask you, how do you need to choose to be filled with the peace of God today? How do you need to choose it? You ever met those people who, in the midst of enormous pain, enormous tragedy, enormous heartbreak, enormous suffering, who seem to have a peace, a shalom, a it is well with my soul that does not seem to make sense? You ever meet those people? You need to know they have it for one reason. And it's not because they have bigger faith than you. It's not because they have stronger faith than you. It's because they chose to be filled with the God of peace day after day, after day, after day, after day, after day. And one of those people was a guy named Horatio Spafford. And you may not be familiar with that name, but most of us are familiar with the song he wrote in 1873 called "It Is Well With My Soul." What's amazing about that song is what was going on in Horatio's life when he wrote it. He wrote the lyrics after his 4-year son died of a fever. Then after he lost everything in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, then after his 4 daughters died in a tragic shipwreck. And as he crossed the Atlantic Ocean to meet his grieving wife, the ship he was on passed near the spot where his daughters, all 4 of his daughters, had drowned. And that's when he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Justin's going to sing this song over us real quick. And as you're sitting there, I want to encourage you to use the next few moments to choose to fix your eyes on Jesus. But before they do, I'm going to pray. And as I do, I'm going to give an opportunity for those of you who have yet to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and lead your life, but are ready to do so. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, We're also guilty of choosing to take our eyes off you, fill our minds with other things. Jesus, I praise you. We praise you. We thank you for sending your Spirit to fill us with your peace. I pray that we choose that. We choose you. We choose you. And Lord, as we're singing this song, as Justin's singing this song over us, Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, if in this moment they feel the prompting to do that, I pray that as Justin sings, quietly where they are, they choose to confess their need for a Savior, declare Jesus they believe you are the Savior of the world because of your death and resurrection, and then they ask you to be their Savior. They put their faith in you, asking you to be the forgiver of their sins and declaring they want to follow you as a leader of their life, as their Lord.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever
that prayer with me this morning. This is an awesome, special day for you, and we would love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these Bibles. Simply text the word Jesus to 55444 and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information that will help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in the context of community. If you live in the Elkhorn or Omaha area and you're not part of a local church, we'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday gatherings at 9 or at 10:45. You can find out more about Relevant or what a Sunday morning looks like around here simply by going to our website, relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for watching.